We're learning about the Chasna. The Chasna to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael by Maimon Har Sinai, by Kabbalah Satayra. And we're learning how in every relationship, the relationship between Chasna Kal and this world, a relationship between friends, parents and children, if the relationship is entirely based upon responsibilities and commitments, as important as that is, of course, it has to be. It has to be with acceptance, thank you much. It has to be with responsibility and commitment. But if an entire relationship is based upon just responsibility and commitment, then that relationship is missing the or, the light, of something deeper, more personal, and more intimate. And the marshal that we learned last week, the pathetic marshal that should never happen such a thing, but Lu Yitzu, you could imagine that by the chasna, by the chuppah, by the chedei yichud, that the chasna and the kala are making cheshbonos about how much money they could make and how they're going to be able to help the family, and maybe it's going to work out with this different jobs, and their mind and the minds and the hearts are on that part of life that is a matter of commitments and responsibilities. So even though naturally they have to be makusha to this world and to be Isaac and things of this world, but b'shas the chuppah, that's not what the chasna is about. That's not what the chuppah is about. And that relationship is missing the or, the light of a kesher, of a deeper kesher between them. And you have that with friends, and you have that with parents and children and so on. So on page 106, the next to last paragraph, ach kesher amiti pnimi hu kezeh she'echad zokuk l'sheini. What does it mean when there's a kesher pnimi, an inner, a kesher that's a kesher pnimi? That's when one needs the other. Not like in a business partnership where I need this person because I can't accomplish what I want to without that person. And you have in many marriages, that's what the marriage consists of. It's a certain kind of a business partnership where she takes care of whatever domestic things have to be taken care of, and he takes care of work and whatever else. And so that's the whole relationship. But that's not a kesher amiti and pnimi. You have that in a business partnership also. So when it's a kesher pnimi, it's not just because I need you in order that I should be able to accomplish what I want to accomplish. Ela chafetz umavakesh beetzem hakesher. It's that chafetz, it's that desire to have the etzem hakesher, the connection itself. I'm sure that many of you, I hope that many of you have seen the very famous mimer and the breathtakingly beautiful mimer of Rabbi Yosef ben Soloveitchik, The Lonely Man of Faith. Can I assume that some of you have seen that? Well? Okay. That's something that you have to see. It's just not see. You have to and don't lie down when you're reading it, and you have to sit up. And you have to sit up and you have to it's good for, you could, even before Pesach, but if you have a little time, The Lonely Man of Faith, it was just, and I think it was just reprinted. It was just reprinted with a little bit of an introduction. But that's something that everybody, I'm surprised, it might stop me just being humble or something. But but to read The Lonely Man of Faith, it's, Ish ha'mun ha'baydei. I made the mistake of reading it in Lashon HaKodesh, when at that time, years ago, it was very hard to get the English. It was very hard to get the English. Isha Munah by Lowly Man of Faith. I think Rabbi Yeshua wrote it in English. It was written in English, which you'll be very impressed with. I think he was only in America for a few years when he did that. It's going to be very embarrassing for us Americans. So there, it's, even if you haven't read it, Mitchum, I hope you'll get a chance to read it. But even if you haven't, I'll just tell you that what Rabbi Yashabia shows over there is that when you look at the beginning of the Torah, when you look at the parashiyas of the creation of Adam and Chava, he develops a typology of what he calls Adam, or Adam number one, and Adam number two. It's very, very well known how he explains this. When you look at the story of Bereishis, you see, on the one hand, we see the story of Adam being created by himself, and then Chava only being created afterwards from within him. Etzim Atzamai and so on, Chava was created from within him. But then when you look a little bit further in Parashat Bereishis, it's Zachar Nekeva Bar Usam. We have an Adam and a Chava, who are a fully functioning married couple. And if we didn't know that it was talking about the same people, when you look in the story of Adam and Chava in Bereishis, it appears to be talking about two totally different couples, different people. So Yoshebe explains, there are two types of human beings, and there are two types of relationships. I'm not going to go into the spoiler for you, but you should learn it. There are two types of human beings, two types of, there's an Adam number one type, and there's an Adam number two. We were talking a little bit about this the other day, a little bit by Rav Kook, by the Chabura. But Li Inyaninu here, that type of a human being who can't live without the other, who feels an unbelievable existential loneliness, whose wife is not just a partner, but a person who comes from within the very depths of who he is. On the one hand, in the story of the races, we have Adam and Chav as very practical people, a practical couple that's setting out to build the world. That's what they had to do. Pru Urvu Milu Azaretz V'Kiv Shua. And in that respect, Adam and Chava, or what Rabbi Yeshua calls Adam number one, was a great conqueror. He was a conqueror. He was an industrious, scientific, brilliant person who, for practical purposes, couldn't do it alone. He would not be able to build the world alone. He needed an Ezer Kenegdo. He needed somebody who would help him. And together they would be able to move forward with this, whatever this conquest of the world means, to build the world and so on. But as Rabbi Yeshua explains, Adam number two is not a person who is interested in conquering the world. Just the opposite. Adam number two is a person who is conquered by the world. He's overwhelmed by the beauty of the world. He's a poetic, pnimistic person who's not practical at all. And Rabbi Yashab explains the two stories, the two parashiyas there of the creation of Adam and Adam and Chava as the two types that we have within ourselves. And ultimately, there needs to be a fusion of these two types, a healthy fusion of the two types into one Jew, into a Jew. So, whereas Adam number one does not need a kesher pnimi and amiti. There are many couples, especially in the old days. When I say the old days, I don't mean ancient times. I mean from our parents and grandparents' generation, where it was just marriage consisted of a practical relationship. He's nice and she's nice, but mostly he has his responsibilities, she has her responsibilities, and they would meet, you know, by the Shabbos table a little bit. But this was life. It was mostly this kind of a partnership, under good circumstances, it was a warm relationship and a caring relationship and a healthy relationship, sometimes not. But it wasn't filled with the romance or that great, deep need to satisfy something much more spiritual in the person. It was just a practical relationship. I mean, many people live like that. But Adam number two can't live that way. He's seeking through marriage, through that relationship of a husband and wife, he's seeking a redemption, a something much deeper, not just how to practically build the world. So that's a kesha amiti upnimi. course, nowadays, because so many, because it's become much more common for people to at least claim to be seeking a deeper relationship. So when the feeling is that that's not satisfied within a relatively short time after marriage, so that can cause a major crisis in the marriage. It was in the old days where, for the most part, it was more of an Adam number one kind of, Adam number one type of marriages. To a large extent, there were Adam number one type of marriages where it was for practical reasons. So then, okay, so she didn't say she loved me today, so I could still go on. It wasn't like my life didn't depend upon her, you know. When she said something to me, and her life depended on whether she got some flowers or something. But this became, through time, this became much more of a need. So that's an indication of tremendous progress as far as mankind is concerned. On the other hand, it makes for a lot more divorces, as that's obvious. Where if a husband and wife have these deep expectations of each other, you know, it was relatively easy to prepare supper and to take care of the laundry and for the husband to make a living. Once it becomes deeper that I depend on this person to somehow provide me with some great emotional support and love and caring, so then it's much harder to live up to those expectations of the other, and it's much easier to be disappointed. So we're living at a time where marriages are becoming more and more of a disappointment than a fulfillment, because the stakes are so high. Every little girl nowadays goes to high school thinking that she's going to have the marriage of the century, and it makes for a lot of disappointments. On the other hand, it's the Ratzon Hashem that there be a kesher amiti pnimi, also between friends, parents and children. It's not just a matter of serving one's own needs. The reason that we got together is because of getting together. Not just because you take care of something that I can't take care of. That's a business relationship. Like Chazal tells us, it says in the Zohar Kodesh, that the husband and wife, each one is a plaguf, each one is only a half. And there's this feeling, this sense that a person is Kalashar B'Loyisha, a person that doesn't have that relationship is missing a part of himself. In a nechshel l'metzias, klal o'klal. What's a mechse? A half of a metzias, nishka metzias. What kind of a metzias is it? What kind of a reality is that, a half? Kesher shel yedid l'savitis. Same thing when it comes to friendship. Derech Marshall. Enemis Bas says, Rak al Maisim umuchiyavis. A friendship is not based entirely upon things that they do for each other and responsibilities. Elamokim yesh lis angus al etzamakesha. There's an oinig. There's a deep, deep, indescribable pleasure that these two friends have just being together, being friends. One thinking of the other. Just the kesher itself is such an oinig. Kechaverim hamusabim hamusubim yachdov mesoichichim ben ima. Good friends who are able to sit together and to chat and to talk. That's one of the most wonderful, wonderful experiences in life. It's just the opposite. The things that they do for each other is not the basis of the relationship. The responsibility is not the basis. It's the love and the kesher that they have that generate all types of good deeds and a sense of responsibility in the lemaisa. But the basis, the basis of the relationship is the relationship. And the other stuff is a consequence. The things that they do for each other, or the feeling that one has an achrayus for the other, that's the outcome of the relationship, not that it's the basis of the relationship. Now all of these relationships in this world, a husband, a wife, good friends, all of these relationships are just emotional. Are emotional of what could be with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that relationship of marriage, which we see that by Maimon Har Sinai, that was a chasana. A chazal saw it as a chasana. So hanisuin et Hashem Yisbarach enim rak ki anu chafetzim mischar. So what our relationship with Hashem Baruch Hu was because of reward. It's for the sake of having a reward. V'hu Yisbarach chafetz begilui. Hashem Yisbarach kivyochol wants that His presence should be made known in this world. So He has this practical need for us. So we have a practical relationship. We need Hashem to get rewarded and so on and so forth, and to have a lot of good stuff in this world and the next world. And Kivyochel Hashem needs us in order that there should be His Galus Kvod Shemayim. So He needs us in order to get the job done in this physical world, in the way that He wants, whatever that means. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's what all of Yiddishkeit is. It's all Torah mitzvahs. That each one has to take care of the other with this responsibility that we have kivyachal for him and he has kivyachal for us. And that's the whole inyan of Knesset Yisrael. That's what it means when we sing Yidid Nefesh over Achman. That's what it means, Yidid Nefesh. That's what it means. Anila doidi v'doidi li harayi b'sheshan. That's the whole Shir Shirim. So you could be the kind of a person that goes to the whole Seder with your rulers and checking your cheeks if you have Malay Lugmav. You could be that type of a Jew. Consider yourself, the halachic man, and you could be that kind of a Jew. And everybody has to try to keep everything the right way. But oy vavoy, if that's the whole kesher the person has the kesher, that's the whole seder. The whole seder with rulers and measuring cups, and person sitting looking at his matzahs like Christ, like the way they can check to see the size of the matzahs. That happened by the Tzemach Tzedek. It's a famous thing that there was a chosid that was sitting by the Tzemach Tzedek's by the seder, and for yachas, and he said he broke the matzah. So, and of course, the bigger piece has to be Fafi Kaiman. So this chassid broke the matzah, and he's looking at the two pieces. He had to figure out which one to put Fafi Kaiman, and it was close. So because it's not so pashut always. So he's looking at that. So Tzemach Tzedek said, "Yes, then what are you looking so much?" He said, "I want to see which is the gadol, which is the bigger one." So Tzemach Tzedek said, if you have to look so much to see which is the gadol, let's make that as Mishkan gadol. If it's not obvious which is the gadol, it means he's not an emes gadol. If you have to look so much to see which is the bigger piece of the matzah, so ready to take it out and to measure it to see which is the biggest piece of the matzah. If that's what a person say there is, some journey through Shulchan Aruch, that's also fun. That's nice too. But if that's what it is and that's it, then that's why we had Pesach. That the Rosh Hashanah took us out of Mitzrayim, that you should sit there with a ruler and a measuring cup. That's why he took us out of Mitzrayim. It's the Rosh Hashanah of Emunah. It's the whole Yontif of Emunah. It's the whole relationship that was started. Lech Tachachar Azachar Chesin Racha Havas Kul Asach Chasna. I mean, the engagement. Lech Tachachar Midbar Zulizur. And that's what it came out to. And to sit there and to talk over Rambams and Ravis, there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. But you see, it's just an interesting thing, and I have to be careful not to with Pesach, because once you start talking, then it's hard not to, it's hard to bring it back into to Monday night. But you see, it's such an interesting thing, how at the end, the children sort of hijacked Pesach. Anybody that has little children knows, children of Einik Lech Bruch Hashem knows, that as much as you prepare to be like the responsible father, to be Mekam the Mitzvah, then watch it anyway, because they come with all kinds of big fat things from school, with projects, because their teachers want to get paid and they want to get jobs the next year. So they come with all kinds of big things. They think it says in the Torah, V'higat L'Avicha, it doesn't say V'higat L'Avincha. and the parents, the father Nabuch prepared, like for the last 2 weeks, the father's, you know, preparing this and all kinds of verdlich, and he's got things highlighted in his Haggadah, and he's going to give over all of Yiddishkeit to the kid, and the kid takes out his bichel. He's got this whole big thing, and the parents and the rest of the guests are like prisoners sitting there, and the kid's saying over these things, and you know, with the pictures and with the verdlich, and everybody has to pass. And, oh, and it's looking around, and the whole, and then before you know it, it's already 11 o'clock, and you have to, 11:30, you have to eat that kind. You have to start finishing up, and everybody starts to rush through the mitzvahs. And so, how did it happen, such a thing? There must be an inyan of hashgach, but if such a thing happened in our door. My father doesn't tell me whether when they were children in Europe, the children said nothing. Absolutely nothing. The children listened. They listened. They didn't say anything. They didn't open their mouth. He says when he remembers that his grandfather died when he was like 10. But he remembers that he ran the Seder, and after the grandfather passed away, then my father's father feared the Seder, and they had the relatives or whatever was there, and it was the children who were sitting and were listening. And it wasn't that it was such a thing that the children were talking and the parents were listening. It's an interesting thing. So what's Hashgacha Pratis in such a thing? You have to try to think, why did Hashem let such a thing come down? So the only thing I can come up with for now is I thought about this. The only thing I can come up with is that the Baruch Shalom must be telling us that he wants us to keep it straight and simple. He wants us to talk about the things that the children understand. Because for years this became an inyan to make the Seder into a bismedrish, and to make all kinds of lomdas, and to have that the adults get into all kinds of things, and the children are like left out from the Seder altogether. So, because what I was talking about, Father Rav Kook Chabura, because of the intellectualization that's taken place in the West and so on and so forth, this whole inyan of being able to say over fancy things. So the children force us to come to a place of sweetness, of simple and sweet, and to talk about the makas, and they have these books now with the scary pictures of the frogs and the. So it must be this, the Rosh Hashem, that we take out scary pictures of frogs and not talk about how could a tzfadei be mekayem the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. According to the Rambam, how is a frog being mekayem the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? The Rambam didn't talk about the Rambam on Pesach. The Rambam spoke about scary frogs, I'm sure, to his children, to his grandchildren. It must be that the Rosh Hashem wants such an Indian that it should be with the Masikas, it should be sweet, and it should be to the point. And the children, if they have their things, that to engage them in their inyanim, okay, that's what they have. That's what they. So then talk to them about their inyanim. You don't have to say the vart. You say the vart at the yontif meals, or you say later on if the children are sleeping late at night, or this time to talk. Any of lunches or other meals on yontif, or cholamai to talk. But for Pesach night, I think it's the mashpia, such a hashpa of amuna and of caring and of caring about the children's Yiddishkeit and their belief in Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to remind you of the ma'aseh that happened there by the yid with the bnei sasach. It was such an unbelievable ma'aseh with that yid that was drunk Pesach night. You know, it's a famous thing. Shlomo Kabel, he's saying over. He made it much bigger than it says in the svarim. But it was such a ma'aseh that, you know, the bnei sasach used to go the second night. He used to go in the middle and go look at into the storm of the simple Jews. He used to like to watch how the yidin would make a seder. But it happened by bnei sasach. There was such a seder that it came. It was by the second day of Yontif. No, it was the first morning Yontif. The first Yontif. It was the Seder. It was after the first Seder. It was the first morning Yontif, and they came to Shul and the Bnei Sasa said to go to get to whatever the guy's name is, Yankel or whatever, the water carrier, to go bring him. So they brought him to Shul, this Yankel, and it was before davening. The Rebbe said that, Yankel, I want you to tell everybody about your Seder last night. What's for a Seder gemacht? You made such a Seder. I want you to tell everybody. So this Yankel said, please, it's bad enough that the Baruch Shalom knows and you know. So why do I have to be embarrassed to everybody here? So Vanessa said, I've never embarrassed you. I want you to say over what happened last night. So you know the mice?
No.
You know this mice? It's a famous story. So I'll tell you very fast. But the mice was that So the Yid said, this Yid, this Yankel, was the, in Dinav there by the Bnei Sasa, he was the Shikr. He was a drunk. What was his Indian, especially of Pesach? Because he said, so he said to everybody, all Chassidim are standing around, and Yankel said that, the Rebbe told me, so I have to tell the truth, that what happened yesterday is that before came to this man, Isser, so I was nervous because I drink a lot, and I wasn't going to have any more of the schnapps, you know, the Pesach schnapps is not so good, and I wanted to have as much as I could have before this man. So I was drinking and drinking and drinking. I became altogether, I became totally shikr. I was so shikr that I was sick the whole shikr, the whole day. And it came time to go to shul last night, and the children were trying to get me, and I couldn't move. I was so sick and shikr. So then what happened is that my wife was sitting down. I couldn't come to the seder. My wife was sitting down, and she came to me. She was crying. She said, the children, and my wife is shaking me. She says, how do you... Every single child in the whole dinner is having a seder with their father now, and what's the matter with you? You're lying here shikr like this, you're not embarrassed, and what's going to be? And he said, I wanted to, but I promise you, Rabbi, I know it's terrible, I couldn't move, I didn't know what to do. And then they went back, and she was trying a little bit to make with them a kiddush, whatever, and they come an hour later to try again with me, but I couldn't move, and it was already going to be, I thought it was going to be, you know, like midnight. And my wife came there with the children. And she says, Yankel, how could you do such a thing to us? So he said, I don't know how, but I somehow pulled myself together and I leaned up a little bit. And I said, Kindlech, he said, I swear to you that I'm never going to ever do this again for the rest of my life. I promise you, I'm never going to have any more to drink. I'm done. And I'm never going to do this to you. I'm going to have a regular seder. But I can't now. I'm so sick, and I can't help. I can't do anything. But I just want to tell this to you, that the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world in 6 days. And then he made Shabbos. And you know why he created the world? He created the world for his people, for Am Yisrael. And then there were the others, and the Imos, and the Shvatim. And he loved the others, and they were different from the whole world. And he raised the Shvatim that they should be the beginning of Am Yisrael. And then in order that we should be able to know what it means to suffer and to be able to be strong, he put us into Mitzrayim. And then he took us out of Mitzrayim, and he made the ocean, he opened up for us the ocean, and we went through, and he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. He says, Kindlech, he said, he's telling this over to the Chassidim, he says, Kindlech, that's pretty much the story. that's the best I could do for now. But he said, but I want you to know, he says, that the same way that the Rebbeinu Shlom loved us then, and he watched over us then, and he saved us then, he's going to take us out again. That's what he said. And then the Chassidim all standing around, and then... And they asked, what then, Yanka, what happened? He said, then I fell asleep. That was it. So the Bnei Sosa said to him that you should know that since the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu said to his son, since the first time that the Seder was ever, there was a Pesach, it never has it been given over in such a clear way. Never did the children have such a hashpoah of amunah like you gave to your children last night when you were shikr. That's how you gave over in such a clear way what it means to be, to leave Mitzrayim, what it means to be a Jew. That's how. So it must be that there's such an Indian that the Baruch Shalom brought down to us now, because we're so sophisticated and we have so many things and so much plans, and the Baruch Shalom made it in such a way that he wants to keep it, that it should go with the Kindlech. So what happened? So when the Kindlech saw that we're not letting them, that we're not talking to them, we're just saying all kinds of vertlach and all kinds of fancy things, so the children says, this is already enough, this is ridiculous. And they made their own books. And they made their own books, and they said, look, I want to talk about the frogs. I don't want to talk about you. I don't want to talk about your machloikas, Rambam and Ivan. I want to talk about the frogs, and I want to talk about the makas and paro and pajamas in the middle of the night. That's what I want to talk about, paro and pajamas in the middle of the night. Can we talk about that? So the Baruch Shalom made it in such a way. I don't know, maybe you have a different pshat, I don't understand. Because it's not how it worked out, such a thing. But you see that this is the Metzius. And if it can't be, and if it could only be with the halachas, and if it's not with that simple thing like Yankel to give over, if the children don't get that message, and if we don't get the message, because sof, you know, the halacha says in the Mishnah that the children ask, and if there's no children, you have to ask yourself, right? Even if you, God forbid, if a Jew is sitting by himself Pesach, he has to ask himself, what's he asking himself? Because in the Sforma Kedosh, in the Chabad Sforma special, so you know there's a nefesh, there's a ruach, and a neshama, there's a guf, and each part of oneself is asking the other part of oneself. There's a conversation that takes place within oneself. It's the deepest connection the person has with the Bari Olam is within oneself. And it means that inside each and every one of us, there's a little child that wants to know in a very clear and simple way what it means to believe in God and what it means to have a relationship with God inside each and every one of us. So when it says, here the child asks, it doesn't only mean your kid or your grandchild. It means the child inside of you has to ask. That's why Al Pi D'Arizal, after all the children and grandchildren are finished asking the four kashas, the one who's leading the Seder asks the four kashas also. That's Al Pi D'Arizal, that's the good. The one who leads the Seder should also ask, Man Nishtan. Because it's not just that they're children. It means inside each and every one of us there's a child. There's that part of us that wants it to be so clear and to be so pushing and to have that dveikus with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like with a child and no chachmas. And that's what it means to have a relationship. So he says, Heiru Talmide Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Sifreim Sheyisoid HaDvarim Hina Kesher Etzem. The whole tachlis of Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim is to come. Is not that that's the tachlis. The tachlis is that because of the relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the isha k'sheir oisiv tzayin ba'ila. That because we want to have a kesher with Him, therefore we want to do what He wants. Kesher Baruch Hu or va'oni Yisrael nivchanu liyas kelim lahachil or zeh. But the Baruch Hu is a big, big light or ein soif. And Hashem Hashbarach created Am Yisrael, Am Zu Yetzaratil. He created us to be the Kalim through which this light could come into the world. That we should be able to contain this light. V'hagufa kesa ma'isim ayu kesha oiz she'ein l'malei menu. Of course, there's no question that the ma'isim that we do, like I was talking about this Shabbos morning, the sweetness that we have to take out of what we just b'nei shatayra amra. Because the Torah told us to do these things. When there's someone that you have a deep relationship with, and that person asks you for something or to take care of something, there's no greater pleasure. That person needs you, and that person cares and trusts that you can carry out this important thing. That's what mitzvahs are about. It's not that the tachlis. Klai Yisrael achudim udvukim by Yisbarach me'etze mohusa. The mohus of Klai Yisrael is dveikus b'Hashem, is being connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. By Yiskashus mishadekes umishazekes aydei Torah ha-mitzvus. It's not that the tachlis is the mitzvus. The tachlis is the relationship. That relationship is strengthened. The relationship is strengthened. Through Eze Isher Ksheira Isher Tzayin Barley Isher Ksheira Isher Tzayin Barley, through us being faithful to Hashem and carrying out His mitzvahs. The Tachlis is the Kesher. But that, of course, doesn't mean that if a person doesn't feel that relationship, he shouldn't, God forbid, do the mitzvahs. Chas v'Shalom, no one's saying that. Of course, you do the mitzvahs with the Kabbalahs all, and that's very great also. Because the same thing, you have a couple, but it's not always that the feelings are so strong, but they're devoted to each other. And therefore they do for each other, even if they don't always feel such a powerful feeling. Viskashus mishadekus mishazekus aitayter v'amistus hamishorsim samator anayal azayis. The goal, the objective, is the relationship. All of Torah mitzvahs is to strengthen that and to bring that out. But if a person just goes through the motions of Yiddishkeit and he doesn't try to understand how does the tefillin that I'm putting on, how does this tefillin, how is it mechazik the kesher? I saw somebody wrote a letter to one of the firm magazines saying about how my parents care more about, I forgot what you call it, they have on the iPods all these different choices of different like
apps.
That my applications, that means? So this kid was writing, it was like a teenager said that, why are you asking me why I don't care about my Yiddishkeit? So, okay, this is not reason, but I'll tell you about my parents. My parents know more about and care more about the apps on their iPod than they care about than my father when he puts on film. He knows all about the apps on the iPod, but he doesn't know what this film, what they are. He couldn't care less why this is like this and why this is like that and why this is like this, why there's four things on the shin, three things on the shin, one. That he never asks about. But when it comes to the apps on his iPod, he's a big, big, he's a medactic in every single thing, and he knows all the different things. So what's the tachlis of Torah mitzvahs? Because a person tries to understand, what is my tefillin? And how does my tefillin, not just what the kesher looks like, but what is the kesher, what is the knot on my tefillin? How does that makasha me to the Ribbono Shel Olam? How does my tefillin bind me to Hashem? What's the kesher? What does it do between me and Hashem, this kesher? How does it, what am I tefillin? Like a person, when they get a new computer, they get a new iPod or something, they want to know, what features does it have? So, all of us here, the men, we put on tefillin every single day of our lives, Baruch Hashem. What features do our tefillin have? Do you know more about your iPod than you know about the tefillin? What features do our tefillin have? Don't just say it says in the Shema Yisrael to answer like a lamb of Chai. Everybody knows what it says in the tefillin. What are the features of the tefillin? What is it? What can the tefillin do? When you get a computer, you want to know, what does my computer do? You buy an iPod or something. What can my iPod do? It has this capacity for 10 million songs, whatever it does. What does my iPod do? So yes, sir, what does my tefillin do? What does Shabbos do? You light Shabbos candles? We had a Shabbos table. What is Shabbos? What are the apps? What are the Shabbos apps? What does it do? What does Shabbos do? Well, Shabbos. What do you mean what Shabbos do? You're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do this, you make Kiddush, you make a dollar finish. What does it do? What is Shabbos? What does Shabbos do? What is Shabbos? How does it work? And even if we know that we can't, unless a person is very educated in these things, we don't know how. I don't know how they get so much stuff into these little machines, but how it fits all these things in it. And you don't have to know how, but we'll call it prophecy. You want to know, what does it do? Unless you're a scientist, you don't know how these things can do all that stuff. You don't know how it could do that. But what can it do? What can it do? That you want to know. What it could do. That's why you bought it. What can this iPod do? So go your whole life. Go our whole lives putting on tefillin. What does the tefillin do? I don't know. What did tzitzis? What does it do? What does Shabbos do? What does the yontif do? What does it mean, matzah? What's a piece of matzah? What does it do? What does it mean, arba kaisis? What is it? What is it? I don't know. So this kid was writing how he says that his mother is the biggest migdak dekis when it comes to buying a dress for a chasna or for a yontif, how she looks in front of other people. I never ever heard her talk about God. That's what the kid writes. I never heard my mother talk about God. But all she talks about is her dress, getting ready for Yantar. Or getting for a simcha. The dress, I never heard her talk about God. That's what the kid writes. So then it's a big pillow. What's the matter with the kids? There's no kesher. There's no relationship with the Baruch Shalom. If the children don't see that the parents have a relationship, so then what's the whole business with mitzvahs? It's the pain in the neck. Some mysterious shibud that we have from that somehow, because the grandparents or great grandparents, whatever they had going on, that I have to do this stuff. But there's no kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, no shaychus with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I wrote an article now for something on this Indian, that we have a chevra that we're trying to put out something, and I wrote just one of the sentences I wrote over there is that these kids in our generation, they're not running away from Yiddishkeit. They never met Yiddishkeit. What do you mean they're running away from Yiddishkeit? Like they're running away. They're off the derech. What kind of off the derech? What kind of running away? They were never on the derech. They never met Yiddishkeit. They're never on the derech. Just because they were doing stuff, because they're wrapping things in their arm, they mean he's on the derech. They're never on the derech, and they never met Yiddishkeit. No one's running away from Yiddishkeit. You know what Rabbi Nachum Breslov, the Schuss Gaon, said? He once said he was talking to a maskev. There was a guy that was an atheist or something. So Rabbi Nachum said to him, "I also don't believe in the God you don't believe in. I also don't. The God that you don't believe in, I also don't believe in that God. You never met the Ribbono Shel Olam. The one you're talking about, I also don't believe in. But these kids are off the derech. The Yiddishkeit that they were told is Yiddishkeit, I also don't believe in. The Baruch Shalom that they're having problems with, we would all have problems with. But that's not Yiddishkeit, that's not their Baruch Shalom. But when it is their Baruch Shalom, when it is Yiddishkeit, then It can't be anything but a Jew should be in love with that. It can't be. There should be anything but ahava. Because that speaks to the chelik elukam yimal inside of us, the elukus inside each and every one of us. But when it's not Yiddishkeit, it doesn't speak to us. Sometimes it speaks to the brain, because a person likes that, and they're smart, and they get into it, they're interested, but it doesn't speak to you. So then that's not Yiddishkeit. That's what Rabbi Nachum said. I don't believe in a God you don't believe in. That's not Yiddishkeit. It's not running away from Yiddishkeit. You have to have first, something is a shaykhis Yiddishkeit, and you run away from Yiddishkeit. You never had a shaykhis, and it's not running away. So this kid says, my mother talks all the time about her clothing for Shabbos. She doesn't talk once about the Rosh Hashanah. So he's running away from God. There's no shaykhis to it. Klei HaTfilah, page 107. Klei HaTfilah, v'shar mitzvahs hatluyos b'lev. Davening and the other mitzvahs that have to do with what a person... Davening is not just saying words. Davening, the ikir, the kiyum is in the heart. Avayda shebelev. Ma'amidim es adam al noichach etzem hakeshem tzuva kam. Those mitzvahs that tshuva and tefillah, that where the kiyum is in the heart, they put a person face to face with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lezek kama nitzvach yehudi lezmanim she yishav adas v'shalbas nefesh. A person needs to have time where he's yishav adas, and he has shalbas and nefesh, some quiet and time to think. Lezoch lezchadish b'kach, to remember to be mezchadish. Leochez b'kdusha zmanim b'tzadikim losha v'losha b'kelim. He needs, it's not enough just to be with the kelim. He has to go back to the orsha b'kelim, the light in the kelim. The light is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The kelim, we do all of these things to serve Hashem, but the or, the light, Matan Torah, she etzim ingin is kashus. Matan Torah is Har Sinai. That's where the kashu was made. Isn't there a website like that for making matches? Saw you at Sinai? That's not just about the guy and a girl. That's a cute little name for a website to saw you at Sinai. What about the Baruch Shalom? We saw him also at Har Sinai. At Hares Ladas. Saw you at Sinai. It's only about your girlfriend? I saw you at Sinai. It's true, you can't always live in that strong way and be in such a madrekim. But beyond it, Haina Basin is soon atzmum. Just the same way that the couple's not always like being at the chasna. Ram, im yadeish is a ikkar, but if a person at least knows that's what I want to come back to, that's the ikkar of our relationship, that's why we got married, not just to be bored and to do these things that are responsibilities, that's why we got married. At least if you know what the ikkar is. Hashem b'shas at tzerach kaifas atum b'chinzul. At least you try, you work on it, and if it's not, and when it's not with that feeling, that emotion, of course it's v'kabalas ol. Then of course you have to do, because you have to do is the right thing to do, and the husband and wife also have to do the right thing, even if they're not feeling so strong at that moment. Lichyas b'ne'amonis imisha gidloi v'nisloi mi'al kol umas, that we have to always be faithful to Hashem, who took us and separated us from the nations of the world, and shows us to be under the chuppah with him, to be in a state of kedushin with him. We always have to be faithful to him, regardless of how we feel. But is that the tachlis? Not to feel anything? Not to have a kesh and not to have a shaykhis? Okay, Mitzvah will continue next Monday night.